You know, anyone can claim to have faith, you know, when things go well in our lives. You know, I think it's easy to have faith in church. I mean, you're not being challenged. You know what I mean? Let's say like the world. So I always think about it's easy to have faith when things go well in our lives. But my friends, you and I need to understand that it is during the trials and the suffering that your faith is truly going to show. That's how you're going to know how strong that faith that you claim to have is, when you go through those trials and you can say, I'm still standing, I'm still here by the grace of God, and I haven't quit, and I'm not giving up. That's how you realize how strong that faith is. You know, but it's hard to have faith when things get out of control. You know how many of us, I mean, maybe we have some control freaks in the house, that it's almost like you want to be in control, and then when things get out of your control, which happens all the time, we just like, we don't know what to do. And then we question God and we question ourselves. And I mean, it's hard to believe truly when things don't go well. It's easy to believe when things go, everything is okay. When the bills are getting paid, everything, you know, you're looking good, you're healthy. I mean, it's almost like there's no need to not to believe, but it's hard to believe during the storm. I think it's safe to say the majority of us, at one time or another in our life, we have struggled, or maybe we're struggling right now, trusting God wholeheartedly. Like Jessica reminded us, I think all of us, even me as a preacher, we at one time or another, we have wrestled, we have struggled truly trusting God with certain things. Maybe, I'm not saying maybe with some areas in our lives, but with some areas in our lives, we are not still trusting Him wholeheartedly. We struggle. We're not there yet. And we pray for the Lord to get us there, to trust Him. You know, David, many people have King David got angry at God. I got angry at God one time because my friend had cancer, and we fasted, we prayed, and my friend died. And I was like, God, what are you doing? You know, maybe you can relate to that. Like, well, Lord, what did you do? I mean, I've been serving. It's like we assume that because we serve God, everything will go well in our lives, don't we? and newsflash, the Bible always reminds us that even when you're serving God, things might not go well with you. But are you going to quit? Are you going to continue persevering in your faith? I say it's hard to trust when things get out of our control, when we are not in control anymore. When you're not sure what God, where God may be leading you, it is in those moments that we may doubt God. It is in those moments that we show lack of faith in Him. Now, the question that I want to wrestle with this morning, and I want you to help me wrestle with, is how can we overcome these struggles that we have? How can we overcome when we lack faith in some scenarios? You know how many Christians, because of the pandemic, like right now, like they're still living in fear? When the Bible 365 times says, do not fear. It's almost like you have one per day. Do not be afraid. Last week I talked about that everyone is battling something that you know nothing about. And, you know, hopefully we listen to the sermon that, you know, God promises to go and battle with us, but that's when we have faith. So there's a connection between battling our struggles and believing that He's going to go with us. Because when we don't believe, He will not fight our battles. He only fight when you're willing to step in faith, to go where He's leading you, to say what He's asking you to say, to go where He's asking you to go. You know, in the story in chapter 9 of Mark, you know, I always remind myself, sometimes we have mountaintop experiences. You know, we all do. Like, they're like, we don't want to come down from the mountains. Like, everything is going well. But we also had to realize and recognize that there's a valley. Eventually, you might find yourself in the valley. And maybe many of you might be there today. Mountaintop experiences and then the valley. It's almost like our lives can be like a roller coaster. Ups and downs. Lecrae, a rapper, he said, life is like an elevator, a lot of ups and downs, people pushing your buttons, getting jerked around. That's what it is sometimes. But how can we remain faithful to God with our faith? So Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a mountaintop. And it's interesting, Jesus just took those three apostles. Remember, he had 12, but he decided to just take Peter, James, and John. And Mark and some of the other gospel writers, they tell the story how Jesus changed his appearance when he showed Peter, James, and John his glory. You know, that is known in the Bible as the transfiguration, because the appearance of Jesus, he was shining like the sun. You know, like Peter and John and James, they could not understand what was happening to Jesus. And then something extraordinary happened. Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus, and they were chatting, they were talking. You know, Moses and Elijah, we're talking about millennia before Jesus, and they came right there. Jesus showing them something special, because at the end of that story, Jesus told Peter, James, and John, do not tell anybody what you just saw. Only after the resurrection, then you can tell people. So one of the greatest mystery that you see Jesus in the gospel transfigured, you see him again like that in Revelation. John sees him again, you know, in a vision, like you cannot even look at him because he was shining. Jesus gave Peter, James, and John a glimpse of his glory right there. And it's interesting because Peter is filled with awe. He did not want to go home. He said, Lord, it's so good for us to be here. Let us build three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. It's almost like, this is the greatest worship service that I ever attended. I don't want to go home. Mountaintop experience. And then it's interesting because the story, I don't want to spend time preaching. That would be another sermon about the transfiguration. But I want to tell you what happened after they come down from that mountain. Here's Jesus with three apostles, Peter, James, and John. They come down. They came down from the mountain. What is the other apostles doing in the mountain? They're arguing with religious people. So, great worship service experience right here. Jesus showed us something that we've never seen before. He is the Messiah. He is God in the flesh. And we come down, and now we have to get into an argument with religious folks. That's what the other apostles were doing. So, if you got your Bibles with you, I hope you do. Let me just take you there. Picking it up in verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, Jesus, Peter, James, and John. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law, or the scribes, maybe your version said, arguing with them. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed and wondered and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. Now a man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever he seizes him, he throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Then Jesus said, Oh, faithless. My translation says, Oh, unbelieving generation. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me, Jesus said. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, How long has it been like this? From childhood, he answered. He has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my own belief. When Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. So here we have Jesus, Peter, James, and John. They came down to the mountain. The other apostles, maybe Matthew and Bartholomew, they're arguing. They got into an argument with the religious people. And maybe the argument was that, because from the crowd, there's a desperate father. Many of us who have kids, you can relate to that. I mean, your son, your daughter is suffering, and you are... It's out of your control. There's nothing you can do. Nobody can help you. I mean, but then there's somebody in town that people say he can help you. You do anything to go where help can be found. So the father said, Lord, I brought my son that he's been tormented by an evil spirit that robs him of speech. It makes him mute. I asked your disciples, those ones that were in the mountain, those ones that were in the valley, I asked your disciples to cast out the spirit, but they could not. And then Jesus turns around to the disciples and he reprimanded the disciples. It's like, you faithless generation. You unbelieving generation. How long should I put up with you? How long shall I be with you? That's when Jesus said, bring the boy to me. Now, it's interesting because when you look at the Gospel of Mark, Jesus, when he appointed the apostles, he gave them authority and power to heal, to cast out demons, and to preach. And I don't get it. Like, I mean, you can go Mark chapter 3. You got your Bibles with it. Just go over there, chapter 3, so I can show you that what happened here that the apostles could not cast out this demon. Chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Look at the power Jesus gave the apostles. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. And then that's the name. These are the 12 apostles. So to have authority to drive out demons. Well, now there's a desperate father come. He says, Lord, I brought my son. He's tormented by evil spirit that, you know, robs him of speech. I brought him to the disciples and they could not cast out the demons. So what's wrong with this picture? Jesus gave him authority to do that and they could not cast out this one. So as you go through the text, you're going to find out the answer to that question. So Jesus reprimanded the disciples, all faithless, the ESV, the Blue Bibles in your pews renders it like this, all faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring the boy to me. You faithless people. You know, you need to understand that all the miracles that Jesus performed during his time on earth, he always applauded when people have faith. Remember, he would say, your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. And then he reprimanded the apostles because for about 3 years they've been hanging out. And it appears that they still don't believe Jesus wholeheartedly. And here's an incident that Jesus said, where's your faith, man? So they bring the boy to Jesus. And then he asked the father, you know, at that moment when the evil spirit saw Jesus, he convulsed the boy. You know, he was rolling around on the ground, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the father, how long has the boy been like this? And the father said, from childhood. And he said, sometimes he seizes him and throws him in water or into the fire to kill him. And then he said, but if you can do something, please have mercy on us. The word there, please have compassion on us. Do something, please. I'm desperate. I don't know what else to do. Maybe you and I have been praying that for a while. Lord, if you can do something in my situation, please have mercy. Have pity on us. Here's the plea of a desperate father. If you can do something, take pity on us. How often have you approached God in like manner? God, if you can, have mercy on us. My friends, I just want to remind you, that is a prayer. It's a prayer of unbelief. No faith at all in a prayer. Lord, if you can. It's almost like you don't know, first of all, it's almost like you don't know really who you're talking to. If you can, please have mercy on us. This is obviously a prayer uttered by someone who doesn't really know Jesus that well. Like I said, we know Jesus always admired people's faith, and many of the miracles he performed, he always applauded and says, your faith has made you well. But when we approach God and say, Lord, if you can, like, there's a doubt right there. This, like, I'm not sure if he can do it. So if you just please have compassion of me, instead of saying, Lord, I know you can. I know you're able. Whenever, and may your will be done. Whenever you're ready, I'm here. But the Father said, Lord, if you can, please. I'm hoping that you're a Christian, that you never pray that prayer. Lord, if you can, because as a Christian, you should know that he can. That he can do more than we ever ask or imagine. That's what Jesus said, if you can, like almost saying, like, you don't even know who you're talking to at this moment. Lord, but if you can, have pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus replied, Everything is possible for the one who believes. Then the boy father said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And maybe you and I need to pray this one, because sometimes, depending on what we go through, depending on the circumstance or situation, we might be lacking in faith. And then we say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, I believe, but right now I'm struggling with my unbelief. I'm struggling because I have lack of faith in these areas. Perhaps that's where you are. You're struggling with your faith, maybe during this pandemic right now. You do have faith, but it's hard to trust Jesus when things get out of control, when you don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring, when the news cannot, you know, the news you're listening to, like, they're just making you more afraid. And you listen more to them than what Jesus really saying. I got you. And you say, Lord, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Help me overcome when I don't trust you that much. I mean, Jessica had the example, like, you know, when you trust God. I mean, Peter had to trust Jesus to step out of the boat. When you know that mankind doesn't walk on water, but Jesus said, come. And just trusting the one who calls you, you just have the faith to get out of the boat. The other disciples stay there. Peter said, he's calling me. I'm going. That's faith. And faith, let me define it for you. Faith is to do what God is calling you to do, even when it doesn't make sense. Faith, a lot of times, the faith that we find in the Bible, it doesn't make sense. Moses lifted the staff and the sea. I mean, you know what I mean? What God calls people to do, they had to show their faith, because it was a time that it's out of your control and it doesn't make sense when God calls you to do something that's like, it goes beyond your comprehension. That's truly when you want to display your faith. God said, trust me, even when everybody else is panicking, that you're still going to be, I'll be okay. You know, that I don't have to be fearful. I said, Lord, have faith, but help me overcome those moments when I doubt you, those moments when I don't trust you. When you feel helpless, maybe, and you don't know what's going to happen. You're asking God to help you overcome distrust, unbelief in him, to help you overcome doubts. You see, the story, Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and gave the boy back to his father. He said, you mute and deaf spirit, I ordered you, I command you to come out of him and to never enter him again. You know, this is the spiritual realm that we're talking about. And I know there are a lot of Christians, they do not believe in evil spirits and demonic forces. My friends, the Bible talks a lot about those things. They might even be here listening to the sermon today. We don't see that realm out there. You know, and they enter this, another lesson. If you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about an evil spirit ever entering you. But if you're not a Christian, the door is open. You know, and for any evil spirit to torment, and you know, in that society too, they will attack people with infirmity. They will make you sick. They will make you anxious and depressed. I mean, they attack people with all kinds of things. So this one apparently made the boy speechless. He could not talk, and he was deaf. And then, you know, all this foaming at the mouth, and you know, tried to kill him. And the father came to Jesus in desperation. Jesus rebuked him, because you and I need to understand that the God we serve, no demonic world can come against him. The one that is in you is greater than any evil spirits out there. So our God is that great. So demonic forces had to, like, you know, ask Jesus for permission, even to tempt you and I. Because who's greater? Jesus. And so, Father came to the right man. Jesus rebuked the spirit, said to never enter him again. That's it. He's cured. And then he says that, after Jesus said, the boy was over there like a corpse. And people thought he was dead. So Jesus raised him up, gave him to the Father. And I love the story, because later on they go to the house. The disciples that could not cast out the demon came to Jesus and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast this one out? And this is what Jesus told him. Let's go, verse 28. Let me just pick it up in verse 26, so you see that what happens. That the spirit shrieked, convulsed him, the boy, violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet. And he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Now, that tells you too that there's all kinds of demonic. This kind can only come out through prayer. Some translation, like the old King James Version, say prayer and fasting. This one only can come out with prayer. And verse 30, they left that place, passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were. Why couldn't the apostles cast out the demon, even though Jesus had given them power to do that? Because this type of demonic forces, this type of evil spirit can only come out with prayer. You see, prayer is such a wonderful weapon. You know, it can protect you from demons like this one. Now, you know why the disciples could not cast out demons? Because the disciples were not praying people. You know, I don't know if you knew this. They didn't pray much. If you go back to Matthew, Jesus just taught him how to pray. When you pray, they came because, you know, they were not praying, folks. Why should the disciples pray? Think about this for a moment, logically. Why should you pray when Jesus is right there with you? You don't need prayer. If Jesus is right there with you, you don't need to fast or pray. You don't need that. And Jesus said it to them. He said, you know, you don't need to fast and pray if I'm already here. But the time will come when I leave you, and then you're going to need all that. You're going to need fasting and prayer. So, of course, the disciples could not cast out this demon that's only come out through prayer, because they were not prayer warriors. They were not prayer folks, because Jesus was still with them. After Jesus left, I mean, Acts 2, 42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. They pray more. But yeah, this kind only comes out with prayer, and since you don't pray, that's why it's still there. Because the apostles were not praying during the time, those 3 years that Jesus, Jesus modeled prayer and taught him how to pray, but they did not need to pray. I mean, think about it logically. If Jesus is with you, why should you pray? You got God with you already. You know, one day when we are with God, prayer will stop. Let's see, fellowship will continue, fasting will stop, preaching will stop. Isaiah asked God one time, how long? So until that time, we've got to continue preaching, but one day we don't have to preach anymore to people, we don't have to pray anymore, because you will be in the presence of God forever. And so, but here, the disciples, they said, why couldn't we cast it out? Because you don't pray. And this kind is only comes out through prayer and fasting. They didn't pray or fast, they didn't need it, because Jesus is right there with them. See, prayer was a solution to be able to cast this type of evil spirit out. Now, you can relate to the statement of the Father, Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief. Now, how can you and I overcome unbelief? How can you and I have stronger faith? How can you and I overcome those moments when we lack faith? You see, I just got to let you know about unbelief. Unbelief is dangerous, very dangerous, because it will keep you from seeing God at work in your own life and in the life of other people. Unbelief will keep you, will blind you from seeing God at work. You know, it's to the point like, God, where are you? Because at that moment you don't think that He's even there. Unbelief will keep you from seeing God at work. It will rob you of God's blessing in your life. Lack of faith will rob you of God's blessing in your life. Why do I say that? Let me give another text. When Jesus started his ministry, he went back to his hometown, the town where he grew up, Nazareth. That's why he was called Jesus Nazarene. He went back to his hometown as a rabbi. The disciples follow him. So he goes as a rabbi to the synagogue, and then he goes and he opens the scroll of Isaiah. He reads, and people are questioning Jesus because they knew his family. They knew his brothers and sisters. And they was like, where did he get the wisdom? You know, people are saying that he cast out, that he heals people. They did not believe in Jesus. And interesting enough, the Bible said Jesus did not do a lot of miracles in Nazareth. Why? The Bible says because of the lack of faith. I mean, Jesus said, you don't believe that I'm able to do that? Okay, bye-bye. Jesus went to his hometown as a rabbi, and they just thought, but we know his mom and dad. They knew a lot about his family tree of Jesus, but they did not know that the power he had. And because they only, he's the son of a carpenter. That's what the crowd said. It's almost like, okay, you think he's a carpenter? Maybe he can fix your table. That's all he's going to do for you today. Because all you believe that he's able to do is carpentry. Okay. So they forfeited. They forfeited God's mighty. God came to town, and He wasn't able to do a lot of things because of your lack of faith. You disbelieved. You did not trust that He's able to do anything else because you thought you knew Him. So unbelief will rob you of God's blessing in your life. Some people, sometimes they don't get blessings in their lives because they still don't believe God is able to do for them what they're asking. They still do not trust Him enough. So unbelief is so dangerous. It will keep you from seeing God at work. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. You faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Unbelief will steal your peace in time of trouble. Unbelief will have you going crazy when the storm hits. Unbelief will have you so anxious in life. Because it's almost like you're not trusting the one who says, do not worry about your life, because you have a heavenly Father who takes care of the birds and the grass of the field, and He will take care of you. And then Jesus said, oh, you little faith, why don't you trust me? Because I got you. And I will got you even through the pandemic. Why are you panicking? I got you, He's saying. That might be another sermon in Matthew 6, 25 through following. Jesus told the disciples again, you a little faith. And here in Mark 9, He says, oh, you faithless generation. I mean, I've been hanging out with you 3 years and you still don't even know me? Unbelief is so dangerous. So how do you overcome it? There's a remedy for unbelief. You know what it is? I tell you. How you overcome unbelief? Knowing Jesus better. Notice I didn't say knowing about Jesus. I mean, I know about LeBron James. I know about, but I don't know him. There's a difference in knowing about somebody than knowing that person. How do you overcome lack of faith in your life? If you're struggling right now with trusting God, how do you overcome that? Get to know Him better. Because the more you know Him, the more that you're going to trust Him. So get to know Jesus better. It's obvious this father did not know Jesus because he came to him, Jesus, if you can, please help us. If you know Jesus, you're never going to pray like that. When you know Him, you're going to say, Lord, I know you are able. I know you can. And in your will, in your time, I would like you to do this for me. In the meantime, allow me to just to wait on you. That's more faith. Lord, if you can, it's almost like you're asking, don't you know that He's able to? Lord, if you can, please. A lot of people, if you can, that's what Jesus said, if you can, everything is possible for the person who believes. You see, unbelief or lack of faith shows that you do not know God very well. That's why it's so dangerous. When you have lack of faith or unbelief, it's evidence that you do not know God that well. Because when you know Him, you know what He's capable of. When you know Him, you realize not even the demonic realm is going to come against Him. That He's more powerful than anything. That He's bigger than any storm you can ever face in this life. How do you overcome unbelief? Getting exposure to God's Word. To whatever God is saying in His Word, you're going to overcome lack of faith. What do I mean by getting exposed to the Word of God? Read it. Study it. Memorize it. And live it out. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17 that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So you see, listen to that. Faith comes from hearing. Now the opposite is true. When you stop hearing, what's going to happen to your faith? Then you're going to experience lack of faith. If faith comes from hearing, what happens when I stop hearing? Don't expect faith. You see why it's so important to expose ourselves to reading the Word of God, to read it. Study it. Joshua, in the book of Joshua, the Lord told him, don't let this book of the law depart from you. Meditate on it. Now, meditate in the Bible is never like, that's not meditation in the Bible. You know what the word meditate means? It means this, chewing. You know, like when you're chewing something, you're like kind of like, you don't just swallow, you start like chewing gum. That's the word for meditate. Like, let that sink in. Like you might say, let that, okay. That's, you read a passage and now you meditate on it. Like, okay, that's what the Bible talks about. So meditate on that, memorize it. Just, in Psalm 119 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to his word. He said, in your word, I have treasure in my heart that I may not sin against you. That's when I keep. So how do you overcome lack of faith? Getting to know Jesus. And the only way that we're going to get to know Jesus better is through his teaching, through his word. Because the gospel portray who he is. The gospel will tell us who God is. The more that you know the Lord, then the more faith that you will have. The faith continues to increase the more you get to know him. You remember when they were in the boat? When Jesus, and there was a storm, Jesus was sleeping. Jessica was using that last week. He was sleeping in the stern, in the back of the boat, and the disciples panicking. I mean, this is a fisherman, professional fisherman in the Sea of Galilee, and they just did not know what to do because they thought our lives is about to be over. And they came to Jesus, don't you care that we're about to drown? What are you doing sleeping, man? And Jesus gets up, and that's another power that they did not know Jesus had. He rebukes the wind and the waves and says, hush, be still. And everything was completely calm. Maybe Jesus needs to do that to us today. Hush, be still. You know, and then the disciples now are panicking more because what they just saw, they did not know Jesus had power over nature. And then they asked this question in that story. You remember what they said? Who is this? That even the waves and the winds, he commands and they obey him. The more you know God, I guarantee you from that moment on, the disciples will go anywhere with Jesus as long as he's on that boat. Because they got to know him. But before it's like, oh, we're the fishermen, we're the professionals, and we don't know what's going to happen. Jesus calmed the sea. When you get to know Jesus, man, your faith is going to increase. And nothing is going to intimidate you in this life.
Amen.
Not even death itself, because you know the one that holds you together is bigger than death itself. Jesus said, look, behold, in Revelation, I hold the key of life and death. That's the God that you and I worship. And if he's with you, why are you panicking, Christians? Why are you afraid, even of the virus and things out there? Now, please hear me out. I'm not saying that you don't have to take measures, but don't be afraid. Because if you're going to get that thing, you're going to get it. Nothing's going to protect you. But you got to trust the Lord that he will hold you together in times when everybody else is falling apart and just chaos is reigning. And the Lord says, I got you in my hands. I'm holding you together. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. Lord, I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And how do we do that? Getting to know him better. Getting to know Jesus better. The only book that we can go to know Jesus is in his word. Here's the biography, and the God that we worship, and what he expects of you and I as his followers. Because I don't want God to tell me, today or tomorrow, you Israel, you faithless man, you unbelieving man, how long should I put up with you? Can you imagine Jesus saying that to us? Because he expects his people to trust him, to believe in him. Now, do you want to truly trust Jesus and get rid of unbelief in your life? Then get to know him. Get to know him better. Because the more that you know Jesus, the more that you know God, the more that you will trust him in every area of your life. And then you're going to overcome unbelief. You will also overcome doubt. You will also overcome fear. You will also overcome insecurity, not knowing what will happen. Because the one that you're placing your trust in holds tomorrow, and he's holding you.
Amen.
That's what Paul says. In Christ, all things hold together. The God who created the universe is going to hold you when everything else around you is falling apart. And yes, things will get tougher. Things will get worse tomorrow. But Jesus said, trust me. I got you. Show faith. I mean, that's what Isaiah told the Israelites. He said, but because those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not get tired. But that's when you trust in the Lord. Let me pray for us this morning.